From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. When it comes to safety on streets, Sacramento has long been at the top of a grim list. The city and county, more broadly, has consistently ranked high when it comes to traffic-related deaths and injuries among pedestrians and cyclists. In response, back in 2017, Sacramento set an ambitious goal to eliminate traffic deaths and injuries within a decade. But in the years since, the number continues to rise. Now, the city is considering another potential solution, declaring a state of emergency in pedestrian safety. That proposal was drafted by Sacramento City Council member and Vice Mayor Katie Maple. Vice Mayor Maple joins us now on the next steps, as well as how an emergency declaration of this kind would lead to a reduction in these types of deaths. Thanks for joining us.
And thanks for having me.
You know, so as I mentioned, the city has tried for years not only to curb, but to eliminate this problem, traffic-related deaths among pedestrians and cyclists. But unfortunately, the city and the county continues to rank at the top of these deaths across the state. So what is it about the city's infrastructure that makes these traffic-related deaths more common compared to other cities across the state?
Yeah, that's a good question. And you've hit on the key issue, which is it is our streets. It's literally how they are designed. So when we look at the streets that are very wide, while they can be pretty, you're driving down, let's say, Lamb Park Drive, you have these wide streets. It also goes to psychology, right? You drive as fast as you feel safe doing. And I think we can all relate to that, myself included. I'm a rule follower. But sometimes when I'm driving down Broadway and I am not paying attention, I realize that I'm going over the speed limit. It's because it feels safe to do so because the roads are so wide. So a lot of the research shows that when we reduce the width of the streets, we slow down cars, and slowing down the speeds is the number one way that we can help reduce some of these injuries and fatalities. And so it's one of the challenges that we have here in Sacramento, and it's probably no secret that we're in a budget deficit. We have a lot of difficult decisions to make as a council, but it is my belief personally that this is one of the most important issues that we can tackle. And so I hope that this is the start of our conversations ahead of the budget season of where are we going to prioritize the funding to make this happen.
You mentioned Broadway as one area of concern. I mean, I used to cycle a lot in the city, and so there are areas that I would just avoid, or roadways I would avoid, because it's a little dicey and I felt safer on certain streets versus others. So where are most of these fatal accidents and collisions happening in the city outside of the Broadway corridor that you mentioned?
Sure. So this is outlined in our Vision Zero plan and some of the data that's on the city's website that people can view. But they're what's called high injury networks. They're typically happening in intersections. And there are places like Broadway, like Stockton Boulevard, like Freeport. And many of those that I named are actually in my district, and that's in particular why this is. I mean, I'm also a pedestrian. I'm a cyclist. So I have very real lived experience, just like probably everyone else in the city, about the dangers of walking on some of these streets. But I have the most business corridors in my district. So I have Broadway, Franklin Boulevard, Freeport Boulevard, Stockton Boulevard, Florin, and Mack Road, all in District 5, and those are some of the most dangerous areas in the city for these types of accidents and pedestrian fatalities and injuries. And so it's of keen interest to me and my constituents, and it tends to be in those intersections.
I was looking at the Sacramento County Coroner's website this morning, and they have data collected on the number of traffic-related fatalities, and it's broken down between cyclists and pedestrians. And so far this year, 45 of these deaths have been pedestrians, 18 have been cyclists. You know, we do have this data. How does this number compare to years past?
Yeah, we know that it's on the rise. We despite our best efforts, and I really do want to say that our staff at the City of Sacramento have done an incredible job in transportation planning and our active transportation division. They're hamstrung on the budget. And so there's a few things that we really need to do in order to address that, in my opinion. One is we need to set aside money in our own budget, which we don't really do right now, and say this is a priority for us. We need to make these investments. And those investments from the city budget is actually going to help us. It's that matching funds that help us get the money from the federal government and the state government that we desperately need to actually complete these projects. They're very expensive. They take a lot of time and funds. And so I think while we have done our best efforts, it has been really challenging. And I think we're seeing that in the numbers. We're seeing an increase year over year. And so that's a failure. And in my mind, we have to do better.
So you mentioned that there's been a challenge in isolating that funding. And you even talk about matching funds from the federal government, which would be great for something like this. I remember I reported on Vision Zero back in 2017 when I was back at KCRA. We're 7 years into this. So has the money not been allocated to this resolution that was passed 7 years ago? Because we're almost into that 10-year goal of zero traffic-related injuries and fatalities by 2027, and we're not anywhere near that goal.
Yeah, I would say we are not on track currently, but that's obvious. In terms of the funding, the vast majority of the projects that the city of Sacramento is currently doing related to active transportation. So a couple of those just to name is Broadway Complete Streets. So that's currently underway. If you drive down Broadway right now, you'll see a lot of construction. That's what they're doing. We're seeing it on Franklin Boulevard. We actually just awarded the contract to the construction company this last Tuesday. So these things are moving forward, but they're almost entirely funded by grant funding from the state and the federal government, and really not very much money at all from the city budget. And so the argument that many have made who work in this transportation space and in advocacy, and also that I would make, is that we also need to put our money where our mouth is as a city and contribute money from our own budget towards these projects. We don't have enough money to be doing these on our own. No city does. They're very expensive. But the more money that we can put toward these projects actually makes us more competitive for funding from these grants at the state and the federal level. And so it's that matching. The federal government basically wants to see, hey, where are you going to put in some, then we'll put in more. And so I'm hopeful that, you know, this a state of emergency declaration is definitely not going to solve everything overnight. But what I'm hoping that it will do is prime the conversation about where our priorities are as a city and as a council, so that when we go into our budget season that's coming up at the beginning of this next year, that we can keep that front of mind as we're having those discussions.
Okay, so let's just get into the state of emergency proposal that you drafted, you and your team. Is it just words on paper, a message, a commitment, or is there actually teeth to this state of emergency when it comes to getting that funding that you want?
Sure. So as I mentioned, I think the primary goal is heading up the budget conversations, making sure that we're being strategic about how we're spending our money as a city. But there's a couple other real tangible things that are a part of the proposal as well. One, our city attorney is looking into the legality of this. We know that the city and county of San Francisco and the city of Carlsbad have similar resolutions. And we're hopeful that using that state of emergency declaration will allow us to more quickly move around the resources that we have in the city to put it towards this, something that we know is an emergency, if my colleagues agree with me and vote when we have this at this full city council. But it also directs the city manager to do a public awareness campaign. I think that that's really important. And I think when some people think of public awareness campaigns, they think of like a billboard that says, don't speed. I don't necessarily think that that's going to be the most effective, but I do think that there are other similar campaigns that are already happening that the city could help support. For example, Slow Down Sacramento with Isaac Gonzalez. That's a program that's already happening where it's neighborhood by neighborhood, literally lawn signs in people's lawns, helping people think about it. The other thing that I think is important is using data, right? If we can look at where these accidents are happening, where collisions, fatalities and injuries are happening, and we can assess, okay, what are the populations that we're seeing that are the most, for example, is it young people that are most likely the ones to maybe be looking at their phones and accidentally run into a pedestrian? If that's true, what is the best way to reach them? Should we be doing targeted ads on social media, for example? Or should we be focusing our attention on specific intersections? Like if there was a sign that when you came up to a certain intersection that says, hey, this is how many people have died here in the last 10 years, maybe you should slow down. Maybe that would make people think twice. So that's one component of it. And so the other piece is about tactical urbanism or quick build projects. So that's fancy words to say. While it takes a long time to do some of these road projects that we're already doing, it can take many, many, many years to go from design to completion. There are things that we can do in the interim. So that means a really great example is one thing that I did when I first came into office. There had been several crashes on MLK and Broadway. So literally cars running into the building on the corner there because people speed, and it's a corner that is pretty steep, and people come in too fast and they would hit the building. And so I worked with the Public Works Department when I came in, and we were able to put in bollards to reduce it down to one lane ahead of the turn. So you'd have to slow down, merge, go around the turn, and then come out, and then it would open back up. And we've had zero accidents since. So that's a perfect example.
I've seen that one. I actually was driving there recently going to Rancho San Miguel, the grocery store. And yeah, there's these cement pillars. And it did stand out because it looked different from other stretches of Broadway.
Yeah, so the bollards actually in front of the building were put in by the organization that runs, it's a senior housing facility, which is the other thing is so dangerous about it. But there had been, I think, 8 crashes in a few years and 2 deaths just at that intersection. And so that's an example of something we can do quickly, relatively inexpensively. Maybe it doesn't look the prettiest, but it is something that will save people's lives. There's a lot of opportunities like that all over the city. And so we're asking our staff to look at those projects where we can prioritize them and then prioritize them in our own budget as we're looking at our public works projects.
There's also a component that mentions mobilizing the police department to ramp up enforcement. What does that look like?
Sure. And so this, one of the things that I committed to, as long as my partners, I want to be clear that this is, you know, led by my office, but also in partnership with Mayor Daryl Steinberg and Mayor Pro Tem Karina Talamantes. So with their both of their offices, our staff, we called in a roundtable of all the organizations that are doing work in this space. So that includes organizations like Civic Thread, our Transportation Commission, North Natomas Drive, Sacramento Metropolitan Advocates for Rail and Transit, and many more. And we said, hey, here's our proposal. We want to hear from you. What do you think works? What doesn't? And one of the things that we heard loud and clear was that while enforcement might seem like an easy tool, it actually doesn't work well from their perspective, that it, you're not going to see, you might see a short-term reduction, but as soon as that enforcement goes away, it comes back. And so they would rather us see us focus our resources on these built environment changes. And the way that I work, my philosophy is you get far by working together. And so we agreed to remove that as a part of the proposal moving forward and focus our energy on the other pieces where we can put our resources. And so, you know, I think where my head first went with this is, oh yeah, if people are speeding and on their phones, we just have to make sure that we tell people that that's not okay and have some real consequences. But, you know, I also am willing to listen, compromise, and look at the data. And so they're saying, hey, that doesn't work. Let's focus on what does.
So this proposal just passed a city council committee last week, I believed, and it still needs to go before the city council. When could that happen?
Yeah, so probably not until, I would say, early next year. So it passed the Law and Legislation Committee, which I sit on. And so now the staff need to work on it. So we created the proposal through my office, but I am by no means an expert. And so we definitely want to make sure that we have our city attorney's office weigh in, say, what does this mean for the city? What does this mean for maybe legal liability? It's one of the concerns that some of my colleagues have. And also, like, work out the details. What does this all look like? Where is the money in the budget for this? What projects could we be putting this toward so that when it does come to the full city council, we can make an informed decision? Is this something we want to move forward with? And I really do hope that we do.
Finally, I mean, you mentioned it. We're in a budget deficit, and it may not just be isolated to this fiscal year. It can go into the next fiscal year as well. So although this could be very well-intentioned, you know, there's a lot of tough decisions that need to be made when you have less money to go around, and that comes down to the city manager. Do you think that there is a realistic possibility that this will be carved out into, you know, that financial pie chart for the next fiscal year?
I think anything's possible. Absolutely. So I'm not the only one of my colleagues that late at night gets the calls from our police captains. Anytime there's a fatality on our roadways, we all do. And we all feel that pain, which is how this proposal even came into fruition, was I had received yet another call. And I said, I can't stand this anymore. We have to do something. I think we all feel that way. I know that we all care. We don't want a city where this is the reality. And so I would say this is an emergency. And that means we have to put our money where our mouth is, and we have to make hard decisions. And that might mean we have to take from other things that may not be as important right now. But this is not just for right now. This is for generations. If we can do the built improvements that we need, this is going to last for many, many years to come, our children, our grandchildren, and hopefully make a safer city. And so I would argue that this is probably one of the most important things we could be doing.
Vice Mayor Maple, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
And that is Katie Maple, who is a council member for Sacramento District 5, as well as the city's vice mayor. And we've been talking about a proposed pedestrian safety state of emergency, which is set to go before the city council sometime early next year to help address traffic fatalities here in the city of Sacramento. Up next, a local chocolatier has been satisfying Sacramento's sweet tooth for almost 20 years. We'll explore the history of Ginger Elizabeth all the way back to her roots in Apple Hill. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.